From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Wade Menezes. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
You know, those of you watching on YouTube or Facebook Live have already seen Father Wade Spielberg's attempt to win an Academy Award on Open Line Tuesday. So his special effects and cinematography know no bounds. Welcome to EWTN's Open Line Tuesday. Father Wade is here. He has made his presence felt already. Coffee mug and pen in hand. And what else do you have that has
25 years of priesthood today is what I have.
Today!
Else. 25 years of priesthood today is what else I have, Jack.
Wow, that is amazing. Happy anniversary, Father Wade.
Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate
that. I have benefited greatly from your priesthood, from really... I mean, that's about the time that's we're right. You know, your priesthood is about right on par with my Catholicism, and your first assignment was here at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament to tend to the sacramental needs of that community, and you haven't slowed down since. And I'll tell you, you don't look a whole lot older than you did then. A little gray on the temple, but you've aged well, Father.
My signs of wisdom on the sides there, I think. So, well, thank you, Jack. And you and Johnette have been tremendous friends of mine, great, wonderful Catholic friends of mine who have always supported me. And it's been a privilege to support the two of you throughout your courtship and your marriage that followed. And so thank you so much for those kind words. I was privileged, and I use that word sincerely and purposefully, to concelebrate Mass this morning with two of my confreres in the Father's Mercy who share today's 25th anniversary Silver Jubilee with me. We concelebrated with some additional confreres of the Father's Mercy at the parish in Glasgow, Kentucky, St. Helens, that the Fathers of Mercy have staffed the Archdiocese of Louisville since 1956.
Wow.
So 25 years commitment of my life to the community and my priesthood with the Fathers of Mercy specifically, it was an honor to concelebrate in that little country parish that we have such a history with. It's just been a great, great day so far. And I am a doer. I am a worker. You know me, Jack. I don't slow down. I think, didn't you tell me one time that Father Ken called me a machine, I think. But and I do love my work. And so it's a joy,
yeah,
and a privilege.
Father Ken, who sleeps all day himself, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's also a worker. And a
talk
doer.
About the pot calling the kettle black.
Right, right. It's also a privilege and a joy to be doing my show today on Tuesday on this Silver Jubilee Day.
If you'd like to be part of the program, pick up the phone and give us a call. The number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, we're still waiting for the call from Father Wade's native Azores. We're waiting for that call. Pick up the phone, 1-205-271-2985, and we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. And you can always send us an email. That email address is openline@ewtn.com. I'm Jack Williams, Pedro Quiles producing the program. Your call screener, your celebrity call screener today is none other than Mr. Tom Price. So pick up,
great.
That's reason enough to call just to get to talk to Tom Price.
That's right.
And Ace McKay handling our social media efforts. So if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook Live, you can type a question into the chat window and it may find its way to us by the end of the program. And our host, the aforementioned and aforeheard from, Father Wade Menezes, is going to tell you everything you ever wanted to know about the Sacred Heart.
This is the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. June is the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and I do want to talk about that. You know, the reason why it's the month of the Sacred Heart, Jack, is because, of course, right after Pentecost Sunday, we have Holy Trinity Sunday. Right after Holy Trinity Sunday, we have the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ Sunday, Corpus Christi Sunday. And the Friday right after Corpus Christi Sunday, we have the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And Corpus Christi and the Most Sacred Heart on that Sunday and Friday, respectively, always fall during the month of June. And so June has traditionally, for decades, so dare I say for centuries, especially in Europe, has been known as the month of the Sacred Heart. And so I want to talk about this beautiful devotion. I want to invite our live listeners this hour to call in or to type in the sidebar a witness of specifically what the Sacred Heart devotion has meant for them, how it's changed their life, how it's made their life stronger with devotion to the sacred humanity and divinity of Jesus Christ, perfect God, perfect man. And so I want to talk about that today as our springboard. You know, last Tuesday was Tuesday, June 3rd, but I wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit because last Sunday, the 8th, was a couple of days ago, was, of course, Pentecost Sunday. So I didn't want to outdo the Holy Spirit. But today we're going to talk on this second Tuesday of June, June 10th today, my 25th Jubilee anniversary day, in fact, about the beautiful topic of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Well, we don't finish in the springboard, Jack. In the next 3 or 4 minutes, we'll wrap up when we come back. The Most Sacred Heart of Jesus is a profound symbol of the core belief of Christianity, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made man, loves each of us immeasurably and without exception. Although pierced terribly by our sins, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Sacred Heart of our Lord, overflows with compassion and love for all of mankind, even when that love is not reciprocated. Therefore, the devotion to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus is one of the most important devotions among Catholics. It became popular following the apparitions of Jesus to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, a Catholic nun from France between the years of 1673 and 1675, and is a fully approved apparition in the Church. In fact, her spiritual director, St. Margaret Mary's spiritual director, is a canonized saint. During his visits to her, Jesus promised St. Margaret Mary, quote, "To all those who receive Holy Communion on the first Fridays of 9 consecutive months, I will grant the grace of final perseverance. They shall not die in my disgrace, nor without receiving their sacraments. My divine heart shall be their safe refuge in this last and final moment." The Church dedicates the entire month of June to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, as I said earlier, remembering always that we were loved first by God. Catholics strive to venerate and imitate the most generous and Sacred Heart of Jesus, our Lord. Even poetically speaking, we talk about the Eucharist as the Eucharistic Heart of Jesus, right? And we know that many of the approved Eucharistic miracles, even studied by secular scientists, Jack, have proven to be the cordium wall of the human person, specifically the inner cordium wall of the human person, of a human person. And we look at the Lanciano, Italy miracle, for example, for proof of that beautiful reality. The Most Sacred Heart of Jesus assures us that God has eliminated all distance between us and Him. I'm going to repeat that. The Most Sacred Heart of Jesus assures us that God has eliminated all distance between us and Him, loving us from within our own human nature, which He Himself took on. This Most Sacred Heart of Jesus means that a divine person loves us with a perfect human heart. A divine person, the second person of the Trinity, loves us with a perfect human heart. Remember, Jesus Christ is perfect God and perfect man. Consequently, our own wounded human hearts are consoled and perfected by His Sacred Heart. The term Sacred Heart of Jesus denotes the entire mystery of Christ, the totality of His being, of His person. Devotion to the Most Sacred Heart calls for a fundamental attitude of conversion and reparation, of love and gratitude, apostolic commitment, and dedication to Christ and His saving work. Pope Benedict XVI of blessed memory says this, "Even our shortcomings, our limitations, and our weaknesses must lead us back to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. His divine heart calls to our own hearts, inviting us to come out of ourselves, to abandon our human certainties, to trust in Him, and following His own example, to make of ourselves a gift of love without reserve to others." In other words, we have only to unite our own hearts, Jack, to receive all that Christ's Sacred Heart contains. Our Lord promised St. Margaret Mary Alacoque that, quote, "Sinners shall find in my heart the source and the infinite ocean of mercy. And those who shall promote this devotion shall have their names written on my Sacred Heart, never to be blotted out." The Most Sacred Heart of Jesus reveals the merciful love, Jack, of our Savior, banishing all fear, shame, and discouragement from our own hearts. The heart of Jesus continues to beat for us in heaven, pouring out its infinite merits upon us through the sacraments of the church. And devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus remains one of the church's greatest treasures and one of our greatest consolations on our pilgrim journey here on earth. Again, our Lord promised to St. Margaret Mary that sinners shall find in my Sacred Heart the source and infinite ocean of mercy, and those who shall promote this devotion to my heart shall have their names written in my heart, never to be blotted out. Call now, this hour, give us your witness about the Sacred Heart of Jesus devotion during this month of June, which is the month of the Sacred Heart, and call and tell me happy 25th Silver Jubilee anniversary.
It's EWTN's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Menezes.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
You know, there's a lot of great apps out there on the internet, especially even in the Catholic world. One of those is Laudate. I don't know if you've ever checked it out, but along with the great Catholic content that you find on the Laudate app, you can also listen to EWTN Radio's live stream. Just open the Laudate app and then click on EWTN. For those of you who were snoozing during Latin class, that's Laudate, Laudate. Search it in your app store today. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Talking about the Sacred Heart of Jesus today, which we highlight during the month of June here Amen. In the Catholic Church. Straight ahead, we'll talk to Heidi in Maine, Nathan in San Antonio, John in Springfield, and we've still got a couple of open lines for you at 833-288-3986. Promises, promises, Father Wade.
That's right. We have 12 promises of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus made by him to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, fully approved by the Church in this 17th century apparition that is approved itself by the Church. I also want to invite our callers, Jack. It just dawned on me, if you have had your home or your business enthroned to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, we call that the Sacred Heart enthronement. Many homeschooling families who practice their faith very, very beautifully, many solid, sound Catholic families who maybe are not homeschoolers, but live their faith beautifully and well and strong in the midst of the modern world, have had their Sacred Heart enthronements done. If you have had your home enthronement to the Sacred Heart of Jesus done, give us a call and witness about that. But I want to comb right now, Jack, as you just implied, the 12 promises made by our Lord to St. Margaret Mary. Here is a list of the 12 promises to those devoted to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, as communicated by Jesus Christ himself to St. Margaret Mary. Number one, I will grant all the graces necessary for their state in life. In other words, whether single, married, widowed, consecrated religious, priest, brother, sister, active, contemplative, it doesn't matter. I will grant all the graces necessary for their state in life. Number two, I will grant peace to their homes. Number three, I will comfort them in all of their afflictions. Number four, I will secure refuge for them during their life and at their death. Number five, I will grant abundant blessings upon all of their undertakings. Oh, thank you, Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. I needed to hear that one. I will grant abundant blessings upon all of their undertakings. Number six, I will grant infinite mercy for their sins. Number seven, tepid souls will be made fervent. Tepid souls, in other words, lukewarm souls, right, will be made fervent. And I love this number eight, Jack. Fervent souls shall mount to a degree of great perfection. And again, already fervent souls shall mount to a degree of great perfection. Number nine, I will bless every place where a picture or image of my heart is honored. Number 10, I will give to priests the gift of touching the most hardened of hearts. Number 11, promoters of this devotion shall have their names written within my heart. And number 12, I will grant the grace of final penitence to those who receive Holy Communion on 9 consecutive First Fridays. And here's where we get the 9 First Fridays devotion, Jack. The requirements for the 9 First Fridays are as follows. Receive Holy Communion on each First Friday in a state of grace, obviously. In other words, go to Mass and receive Holy Communion with the intention of honoring Christ's most sacred heart. If you are not in a state of grace and thus unable to receive Holy Communion, you will also need to go to confession, obviously. The 9 First Fridays must be consecutive. And lastly, the 9 First Fridays must be made in honor of and in reparation to our Lord's most sacred heart. Number 9 said of the list of 12, Jack, I will bless every place where a picture or image of my heart is honored. It's that number 9 of 12 promises that the Sacred Heart enthronement of the family home is rooted in or grounded in. Again, number 9 of the 12, I will bless every place where a picture or image of my Sacred Heart is honored. And I want to close with this for our springboard topic, and we'll start taking those callers. Some traditional short aspiration prayers to the most Sacred Heart of Jesus that are quite popular in Catholic devotion. Number 1, Merciful Jesus, I consecrate myself today and always to thy most sacred heart. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I implore that I may love thee more and more. I grew up with that one. Number 3, Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I trust in thee, which kind of ties itself to the Divine Mercy devotion. And indeed, in the Divine Mercy devotion, Jack, as we know, the red and white ray are emanating from our Lord's Sacred Heart out to humanity, even though in the Divine Mercy image, you can't see the heart, right? But they're emanating from the heart. A fourth aspiration prayer is, Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Number 5, Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I believe in thy love for me. The next one is, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. That's a popular one. The next one, Sacred Heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come. Sacred Heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come. And the last one here I have, number 8, Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, convert sinners, save the dying, deliver the holy souls in purgatory. Amen. The month of June is the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus because it follows the Friday, right after the Sunday that is Corpus Christi Sunday, where we celebrate the Eucharistic heart of our Lord truly present in his body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Most Blessed Sacrament.
833-288-EWTN's our toll-free number. Still one open line at 833-288-3986. First up is Heidi in the great state of Maine, listening on the Open Line podcast. Heidi, thank you so much for holding. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You're most welcome. Thanks for your call today, Heidi.
Thank you. The Holy Spirit told me to call 3 times, and on the 3rd time, somebody answered. And
oh, great.
The rings come in threes, and I'm completely serious. So the Holy Spirit is working through me today. I'm so abundant and joyful to be on this conversation call with you today.
Well, thank you, Heidi.
So my question for you is, do you think the world is ready for miracles? Because I was witnessed and partook in a miracle last summer, and I'm ready to give my testimony to that. And I just want to hear what you have to say about when miracles start happening, or do you think that we're ready as a collective? Are we ready?
When did they stop happening? That would be my question for you.
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, but God can provide a miracle in a person's life when that person technically is not ready. In other words, the miracle will double as the actual grace that prompts the person to come back to a relationship with Jesus Christ, to the Father, through the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So by all means, Heidi, yes, we believe in miracles. Give us yours, please. What is your witness today?
Okay. So I was working in Bar Harbor, Maine last summer, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me to walk out behind a building. And I was in the middle of a meeting and I shouldn't have. But I listened as I always do. I gave my life to the Lord 3 years ago, fully in service all the time. And in front of me, a girl got hit by a truck. And I, by the grace of God, was at the right place at the right time because I listened. I stopped it from running her over completely, and she survived. And I just was wow. able to partake in her graduation from a college. We're now amazing friends, and her final project for school was to do a play, and she created a play called How to Dodge a Ram, and I got to witness this miracle, and I got to watch her connect to faith in a different way. And I know that the Lord will allow me to stay in her life for the duration of both of our experiences here. And I look forward to opening her heart up more towards Christ. And I know that that's the intention with that. And I'm so grateful to be a part of that.
Beautiful, Heidi. And so
sounds like a miracle to me.
Absolutely. And so well explains with such great clarity. That's fantastic. Thank you so much for a great, great witness call. And this right after we celebrated Pentecost in the church this past Sunday, which was the 50th and final day of the Easter season, which now gets us into ordinary time. And Mother Teresa of Calcutta says, make ordinary time extraordinary. And you've done that by giving us a great, great story following Pentecost Sunday as we prepare to celebrate this Sunday, the Most Holy Trinity. Beautiful, Heidi. Thank you so much.
Next stop is Springfield, Illinois. John is listening on Covenant Radio today. John, you are on with Father Wade.
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet, John. Thank you.
Yes. Now, when I was at Mass once, the priest did not inspect the patent. But he let the acolyte inspect it and then put it on the credence table because he thought there was no particles of the Holy Eucharist on it. And I've almost always seen the priest take the paten, no matter what, from the acolyte and then give it back to him after inspecting it. Now, is this a common way of doing it, or is it, you know,
no, it's more common to check the paten, even the patens of the servers. So the priest should give at least a cursory view of the paten to make sure there's no sacred particles from the consecrated host left on the paten. You are correct about that. I think that when it's not done, it's sloppy liturgy. It also doesn't show much reverence to the reality of what we believe in the doctrine of the real presence. You know, the thing to do in a case like this, when you witness this, is to privately and charitably and rarely, those are the three hallmarks of fraternal correction, privately and charitably and rarely approach your pastor and convey to him that you notice that and that you would like to suggest, don't ask him why he's not doing it, just suggest to him that he does do it. I think that's a better approach. Say, Father, we watch you. We love you, we support you, and we watch you in how you celebrate the sacred liturgy. Father, I would like to encourage you to look at the paten. And if you see that after a certain amount of time, you're one or two privately, charitably, and rarely, and by rarely, I mean once every, 3 to 4 months, no more than three times a year. These are the three hallmarks of fraternal correction, according to St. Thomas Aquinas. If after giving him that suggestion to do it privately, charitably, and rarely, then I would simply write a very, very kind one paragraph letter to your bishop, letting your bishop know that he's not doing that, and it's having an adverse effect on the lady in the pews who are watching him not have reverence for the Most Blessed Sacrament. All things in charity. I'm going to repeat that. All things in charity. And as Scripture says, we go to our brother first, in this case, your father, your spiritual father, your parish priest, and you suggest to him that he does do it because maybe he received a lousy formation at a liberal seminary. And so maybe he doesn't know to do it. He should know to do it. Granted, I'll grant you that. But maybe he was never taught to give the cursory look, right? After the communion rite is completed, to give a cursory look to the paten, whether deep dish or flat paten, and to, with your thumb, lightly scale any particles left into the chalice before you purify the chalice. John, thank you so much for a fantastic question regarding the sacred liturgy. We really appreciate it.
Julie in Oklahoma, Anthony in Indiana, Nathan in San Antonio, hang in there. You all are coming up next. It's EWTN's Open Line Tuesday with our very favorite Father of Mercy, Father Wade Menezes.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Next up is Julie in Tulsa, Oklahoma, listening on St. Michael Radio. Julie, you're on with Father Wade.
Hello, Father Wade.
Hi, Julie. Thank you for your call today. You want to give a witness about something that happened during an accident that I believe your husband was in that took his life, and you want to give a witness about that?
Yes. Yes, unfortunately, my husband was tragically killed on the Monday after Palm Sunday this year in a cycling accident. It was just he who was involved. But I received the notification on 360 that he had had an accident, and authorities were dispatched. On the way there, of course, I was crying. And but strangely, I heard in my head very loudly the song, Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, truly present in the Holy Eucharist, I place all my trust in thee. And it just, I hadn't heard that song recently. I hadn't been in adoration where they were reposing and singing that. But it was so loud in my head, I had to just sing along with that.
Beautiful.
When I came to the scene, he did not have a pulse. He ended up dying from the emergency room. I went back to the site to meet my mother-in-law. But again, I was driving in the car, and it was so loud in my head, I had to sing along again.
Well, beautiful, beautiful. It was placed in your mind.
My husband received death. Yeah.
Go ahead.
And then just at the funeral home, when we knelt down, the timing was strange. I didn't know what time we would be able to view him because he had a casket coming in from the Trappist monks. Anyway, just as the timing happened, I didn't even know what day it was, much less what time it was. But we knelt down to pray a Divine Mercy chaplet with him. Wow. I did the sign of the cross, and my watch went off that it was 3 o'clock. And I was like, oh, it's 3 o'clock. We're the Divine Mercy hour, and we're
all these
here.
All these little comforts manifesting themselves, huh? All these little comforts of the faith manifesting themselves uncannily. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. May I ask if your husband was a believer, and if he happened to have had a particular devotion to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus and or to the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which, as I said in the last segment, there are similarities between the Sacred Heart devotion and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. You know, in the Divine Mercy devotion with the chaplet, we see in the image of the Divine Mercy the two rays, red and white, symbolic of the Eucharist, the red ray, and baptism, the white ray, emanating from the Sacred Heart of Jesus, although you can't see the heart because of the baptismal alb he's wearing, meaning that all are called to baptism. And a lot of Catholics don't realize with the Divine Mercy devotion, Jesus is wearing a baptismal alb. He's in the white baptismal alb, and the two rays are emanating from the baptismal alb from his Sacred Heart. So there are connections there. Did your husband have a devotion to either of those two devotions, the Sacred Heart of Jesus or to the Divine Mercy and the Divine Mercy Chaplet?
My husband has been a deacon in the Catholic Church for 11 years.
Oh,
my
goodness.
And we have a very large picture of the Divine Mercy, Jesus with the rays above our bed that
Beautiful.
We've had for many years.
Beautiful.
And when we were praying the Divine Mercy chaplet there with him at 3 o'clock on Good Friday, a peace just overcame me. And I had no more pain in my body. I had had so much pain from not sleeping, and it was just all gone. And there was this outpour of peace. And I remember turning to my aunt, who's a lay Dominican, and saying, I just can't believe this. I can't believe this. I don't hurt anymore. I've got this peace. And she said, why can't you believe it? And I say, I'm just overwhelmed with this consolation and grace.
You know, the third promise of the 12 promises that our Lord made to St. Margaret Mary is, I will comfort them in all of their afflictions. I will comfort them in all of their afflictions. And Julie, that's the third of the 12 promises that I enunciated after our first break, when we came back from our first break. what a great witness this is, and God repose the blessed soul of your husband. May I ask just for his first name, and I would like to remember him in the praying of my compline this evening. Just his first name.
Wonderful. Daniel. Yeah.
And he was a permanent deacon of the church, you said, is that correct?
Correct.
For 11 years. I'll bet the diocese provided him with just a beautiful, beautiful,
beautiful
funeral.
Yeah. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Julie, for such a wonderful witness to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, bringing you comfort at this time of affliction, so reminiscent of the third of the 12 promises. Thank you so much. God bless you.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Next up is Anthony in Lawrenceburg, Indiana, listening on Sacred Heart Radio, of all places. Anthony, you're on with Father Wade.
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Anthony, thank you so much.
Absolutely, thank you. Father Wade, loved your opening monologue there, and how beautiful. Now, I just want to call and give witness to the Sacred Heart of Jesus in my life.
Wonderful.
It's kind of a long story, but I'll try to keep it short. My ex-wife and I, we got divorced about 4 or 5 years ago, had an annulment, and we had two small kids at the time. And it was very difficult. It was tough. I was raised Catholic, and she was not in the church. But through all that, those hard times, we prayed. We still prayed, tried to pray when we could together. And, I had a special devotion to the Holy Family Heart. Like, I was fascinated. I didn't actually do a devotion, but I had a picture hanging in the front of the hallway of the Holy Family's Heart. That kind of preceded, I think, what was to follow. One of the promises of the Sacred Heart is that those who shall promote this heart shall have it's number 10. I will give the priest the gift of touching the most hardened heart.
Yes.
And that kind of reminded me of my wife now again. So we got annulled, and then she then came to the church after we had gone through a divorce. She decided she wanted to learn more about the faith, and then came into the church. And then through that process, the RCIA teacher, the priest there, started meeting with her. And then her and I began conversation again. And we ended up getting remarried.
Wow.
And have our third beautiful daughter.
Wow.
All this to say, I truly believe that it is the Sacred Heart that searched us out. A couple other things that happened. One is that the priest gifted us the Sacred Heart image. Mm. With all the 12 promises for our marriage. And then my older brother, he also gifted us, not knowing, he gifted us the Sacred Heart image with the 12 promises without knowing what Father was giving us. So, I normally don't call in. I like to listen to the program, but I felt like I had to call and give my witness.
Absolutely.
To what it's going on in my life.
Absolutely, Anthony. Thank you so much for a great witness call. I'd say the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus did not want you and your wife to call it quits, and anything can happen. And even though the civil divorce was in place, you two got back together and were civilly remarried. Correct me if I'm wrong, you said you did not get the annulment. So in the eyes of the Catholic Church, you were still married and were always married because no annulment process went through. Is that correct?
Well, actually, we had gone through the annulment.
Oh, you had gone through the annulment. Okay, yeah. You had broken up a little bit, so I thought you said that you had not gone through the annulment. So you did remarry. You did remarry literally then in the church. Is that correct?
That's right. That's correct.
Beautiful. Yeah. Did you also have since you were given by the priest and by a relative, your brother, I think you said, of the Sacred Heart images? Did you actually have the priest come out to do the Sacred Heart enthronement?
Yes, he was here to do it. Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. I want to give two websites now. It's a great leadway into this. Two great websites where the laity or clerics and religious, for that matter, can get more information on the Sacred Heart enthronement, what it entails, and the beautiful certificates to have framed to hang up once the enthronement takes place. The first site is welcomehisheart.com. Welcomehisheart.com. And the second one is CatholicCompany.com, CatholicCompany.com. And in that second website, once you're at the homepage, you got to put Sacred Heart and Throman in the search bar. So CatholicCompany.com, and then in the search bar at the homepage, put in Sacred Heart and Throman. But the first one I gave, WelcomeHisHeart.com, it is a website per se dedicated to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus devotion and to the Sacred Heart Enthronement. Again, WelcomeHisHeart.com and CatholicCompany.com. Anthony, I want to thank you for an absolutely great witness about you and your wife remarrying after your civil divorce and annulment, that you got remarried in the church, and that the Sacred Heart devotion had a lot to do with that. Thank you so much, and we appreciate greatly your phone call and your witness.
833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number. A couple of open lines for you and plenty of time for your calls at 833-288-3986. Next up is Nathan in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Nathan, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father Wade. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome, Nathan. Thank you for your call to us.
You're welcome. The other week, I was listening to a show on EWTN Radio called The Spirit World, and the host and the caller were having a brief discussion about how it is prohibited for Catholics and Christians to try to contact the dead through whatever means. But my question is, how does the church distinguish? And so my example is, I pray to ask Mother Angelica for her intercessions just about every day, for good things like to grow in holiness, grow closer to God.
In the essence of time, here's the difference. You're not conjuring up the dead to purposefully communicate with them. With the faithful departed, you're asking for their heavenly intercession. If they are members of the church triumphant already in heaven, like a canonized saint through the authority of the church when he or she has been declared such, or you're asking the heavenly intercession of a member of the church purgative or the church suffering in purgatory, because they can still intercede for others, although they can no longer merit for themselves. They are assured heaven after their purgation, so they are future members of the church triumphant in heaven. But they're currently members of the church purgative or the church suffering, also called members of the church penitent. So with the church triumphant already in heaven, the canonized saints, with members of the church purgative, suffering, or penitent in purgatory, you're asking for their intercession. Even with a member of the church militant still living on earth like yourself, asking your wife to pray for your surgery that's upcoming, or having your sibling or brother-in-law pray for you for an upcoming surgery, you're members of the church militant still living on earth, you're asking for intercession. You're not conjuring up the deceased when it comes to the purgative or the triumphant in heaven. You're not conjuring them up simply to ask them about foreknowledge of future events. So I want to direct you to number 2116 of the Universal Catechism of the Catholic Church. Again, number 2116. It's under a heading titled Divination and Magic. Number 2116 says, all forms of divination are to be rejected, such as recourse to Satan or demons, conjuring up the dead, or other practices falsely supposed to unveil the future. Consulting horoscopes, astrology, palm reading, interpretation of omens and lots, the phenomena of clairvoyance, and recourse to mediums all conceal a desire for power over time, history, and in the last analysis, over other human beings. That's what all divination and magic is geared towards, power that is subject to God alone. This is why it's evil. But when you pray to the members of the church triumphant, you're technically asking their heavenly intercession before God's heavenly throne. Why? Because they've already attained the crown that does not wither, St. Paul says. He says, athletes deny themselves all sorts of things, do they not? And the saints in heaven have received a crown already that does not wither, right? Where the athlete receives a crown of leaves that wilts after 3 days. But for the faithful Christian who's faithful to the end, a crown that does not wither at all, you know. So it's versus conjuring up the dead simply as a sense of power to find out future events or whatever, versus asking the heavenly intercession of the church triumphant and the church purgative, okay, who can still intercede on our behalf if we're praying for them. They can no longer merit for themselves in their purgation, but they can intercede for us before God's throne, just like the members of the church triumphant can, and just like a member of the church militant can. We're asking for intercession. We're praying to God through the heavenly intercession of the saints. Hopefully that helps you out, Nathan. Thank you so much. Does that kind of guide you properly? I would encourage you to read not only number 2116 under the heading Divination and Magic, but the whole section, which is 2115 through 2122, just about, what, 7 or 8 numbered paragraphs there. Does that kind of help you out, Nathan?
Well, that was a very good explanation, Father.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. God bless you now. Take care.
833-288-EWTN's our toll-free number. I want to encourage you to check out Fathers Know Best. If you're an early riser or if you're having trouble sleeping, it's Monday through Friday morning at 4 Eastern Time. That's 4 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on EWTN Radio, drawing from the rich EWTN library. We bring you great retreat teachings, lectures, and exclusive EWTN programs hosted by priests you know and trust. You'll hear Father Larry Richards, Father John Ricardo, Father Benedict Groeschel, much more. That's Fathers Know Best, Monday through Friday, 4 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on EWTN Radio. Next stop is Dietrich, Illinois. Father Juan is listening on Covenant Radio today. Father, welcome to the program. You're on with Father Wade.
Thank you so much. Hi, Father Wade.
Hello, Father Juan. Thank you for your call, my brother priest. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. We met in Effingham, Illinois.
Okay.
What
was the event? What was the event? Was it a parish mission?
No, it was at the convention center. It was something with to do with the mother of one of the man, oh, I forgot okay. what it was. But anyway,
okay. Yep.
I wanted to call to give a witness about the Divine Mercy and the Sacred Heart.
Sure, you bet.
6 years ago, my mom was in the last stages, dying. And we started praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. She was very much devoted to the Sacred Heart. She consecrated us to the Sacred Heart. So we started praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 p.m. And she kept saying, Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on me. That's the only thing she was able to say.
Wow.
And when we finished, the last three times we say, Jesus, I trust in you, she died.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was very
devotion
powerful
to both,
for all of us.
And the loved ones and her had devotion to both the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Divine Mercy.
Both.
Beautiful. Shows that link again that I've talked about twice already. The link between the two beautiful devotions. That's wonderful. And she instilled that in her kids. Would you say that any of that had a bearing on your future priestly vocation?
Well, no. I already love the Sacred Heart and the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Okay.
But I already celebrated my 20th anniversary of priesthood.
Oh, so, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Father Juan, thank you so much for a great witness call. We really appreciate it. And thank you also for listening to Open Line Tuesday or any Open Line program Monday through Friday here at EWTN Radio. Thank you so much.
We head next to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Lourdes is watching us on YouTube today. Lourdes, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, thank you. Hi, Father. My niece has 1 foot in the Catholic door, 1 foot in the Protestant door. She says she doesn't want to give up her Catholic faith. She loves the Eucharist. However, she also goes to a non-denominational church. She's going to a Protestant seminary because she says she wants to become a a counselor and bring people to Jesus. I don't know how going to seminary helps you to become a counselor. Oh, she's majoring in theology. But, you know, she thinks now that she doesn't have to go to confession. She can confess her sins to God directly, doesn't believe in purgatory.
She's not, with all due respect, and I can say this quite frankly because I don't know her from Adam or Eve, she simply is not being a good student of the faith. She's not researched. I mean, if she had a copy of the Universal Catechism of the Catholic Church, she would see that each page at the bottom in the footnotes is an absolute plethora of sacred scripture, sacred tradition, like the writings of the church fathers of the first 8 centuries and the lives of the saints, and the magisterium, magisterial documents. And remember, the magisterium is rooted in the apostolic college of the original 12. And yet she believes in the Eucharist, something that the Protestants don't believe in. So she's willing to hang on to the Eucharist, according to what you're saying, but she wants to forego purgatory, she wants to forego any other doctrines, but yet she's hanging on to the major tenet, which is a good thing. The Eucharist is the source and summit of our Catholic faith. But how can you believe in the Eucharist and yet not believe in what, which is the source and summit of the faith, and not believe in the other teachings of the faith? You know, so she's not being a good student of her research. You say that she has one foot in the Catholic door, Catholic Church's door, one in the Protestant Church's door, and she loves her Catholic faith. She doesn't want to leave her Catholic faith. Well, I would tell her to look at Holy Apostles College and Seminary program, their online programs, where she can actually become a counselor through Holy Apostles College and Seminary. I would begin there, having her look there again, Holy Apostles College and Seminary in Cromwell, Connecticut. She needs to look at their website and see the programs they offer in theological counseling and get back strong in her Catholic faith is what she needs to do. Another thing I would like for her to look at is the book titled A Concise History of the Catholic Church by Thomas Bokenkotter. A Concise History of the Catholic Church by Thomas Bokenkotter, B-O-K-E-N. K-O-T-T-E-R. And the third thing I'd like her to do is get a copy of the Universal Catechism of the Catholic Church, hold it in her hands in her lap, thumb through it for a half hour, and then ask herself, with any point of human reasoning, how can this not be the truth? An absolute plethora of sacred scripture quoted, sacred tradition quoted, again, like from church fathers and the lives of the saints, Augustine, Ambrose, Cyril of Alexandria, Cyril of Jerusalem, St. John Chrysostom, Ignatius of Antioch, and then more modern day saints all up to modern times, and the church's pastoral documents and magisterial documents, like the 16 documents of the Second Vatican Council on liturgy, on the role of the laity, on social communications. You know, she just is, for whatever reason, she's not seeing the beauty and the truth that's already there in the church. And I think the catechism, Thomas Bokenkotter's book, A Concise History of the Catholic Church, and also, you know, her prayer life. If she believes in the Eucharist, if she's making a faithful, weekly, Eucharistic holy hour in front of our Lord's real, true, and divine presence in the Most Blessed Sacrament, he will not lead her astray. He will only lead her to the fullness of truth. So invite her to go back and listen to these last, well, to the whole podcast this hour, but where we began with the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which loves your niece and wants to call her to the fullness of truth, but at least have her listen to the last 10 minutes, which includes your call, and invite her to carry out these three things. And I want her, as a fourth item, I want her to look at Holy Apostles College and Seminary's website. They are in Cromwell, Connecticut. You can find their direct website easily enough. Holy Apostles College and Seminary. And invite her to listen to these last 10 minutes of the podcast where I'm instructing you through her to her aunt, who loves her niece very dearly and wants to bring her to the fullness of truth. Does that kind of help you out?
Well, I already talked about this seminary and other, but, you know, she has, like, I think 60 credits, so that's out of the question.
But some of those would transfer. Some of those would transfer to a Catholic seminary with no problem at all.
But my question was, she's not going to confession.
No.
So where is it in the Bible about where you're just bringing condemnation upon yourself by not being truly forgiven of your sins?
Well, God desires mediation throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. We see God constantly using mediators, from Moses to Elijah to Isaiah to John the Baptist, who is at the threshold of the New and Old Testaments, the great precursor to his cousin, the God-man Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ established his seven sacraments, and confession is one of the two sacraments of healing, along with the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. I'm telling you, your niece has to get a copy of the Universal Catechism. The scripture's there, the sacred tradition is there, and the magisterial teachings are there. Invite her to call me next week on Open Line Tuesday.
Father, would you leave us with a blessing?
I certainly will, Jack. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of our Open Line Tuesday listeners this day and always, and remain with you this day and always. Saint Joseph, terror of demons.
Pray for us on behalf of our host, Father Wade Menezes, producer Pedro Quiles, our celebrity call screener Tom Price, and Ace McKay, our social media maven. I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in. Back at it tomorrow with Father Mitch. Until then, God bless.